Moms are there at the hard times. They are there when the child hurts himself or when there's a fight breaks out and dad's gone. The reality of life is fights do break out. Children do terrorize each other. I'm not sure why, but they do. And as I thought of that, an example of faith, this morning in our lesson, Junior asked the question, what is it, how can we leave a legacy for others? Is it by writing things down, or is it by, what is it? And as I thought of that, Chasten's statement the other night was, sometimes we just have to show up. And I think in all of our lives, mothers and fathers, the thing is, we need to be present for our children. And I think in our world, in our society, there are so many distractions. And all of us have a phone. All of us have those things with us all the time. And recently, one of the grandchildren, it wasn't the three here, but it was one of the grandchildren. I was doing something, and I got a text, and he was trying to tell me something. And he looked at me, and he says, Grandpa, put your phone down. I'm talking to you. And I had to laugh a little bit because of the one it is. He doesn't always focus well, but he was pretty clear on that one. Put your phone down. I'm talking to you. I'm telling you a story. And it was a bunch of nonsense, but he was telling a story that was important to him. And he just wanted my attention. And I think that as parents, that's the biggest thing we can give our children is our time. And to be very intentional with that. The first mother we want to look at this morning is Jochebed. Who wants to guess how many times Jochebed is actually named in the Bible? Anybody want to take a guess? All right, how many of you would say four times? How many of you would say less than four times or more than four times? Okay, so some of you say less. How many would say more? It's actually only two that her name is used in the scriptures. And it is in Exodus 6, verse 20, where it just states, Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. And then in Numbers 26, verse 59, she is named again, and it's strictly in the line of genealogies. And she's listed as Amram's wife and Moses' mother. All other times that she is referenced in Scripture, it is either, is typically Moses' parents or Moses' mother. And here in Exodus chapter 2, in the story that we're going to look at, she's not even named. She's simply named as Moses' mother. I want to read here in chapter 2, the first three verses. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant, gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Now, keep in mind, or let's just look at the history of this a little bit, and what caused her to do this was Pharaoh was threatened by the Jewish people. He was threatened by all these children that were being born, and he made a decree that the midwives were to kill all of the sons of the baby boys, and because he didn't want them continuing to populate his nation. But Jochebed decided that she was going to go against that. And the midwives had, we know that the midwives had given preference and said, these ladies are having their babies faster than we can get there, and they're we can't get there in time. But let's look at a couple things here. In verse 2, when she saw he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Number one, she risked her life to save her son. And then in verse 3, she fully trusted Moses to God's protection. She puts him in a basket in the river, and she hides him. And if you go on down into the story later, she has the opportunity. So let's, in verse 4, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." God gave Jochebed the opportunity to raise her own son, to influence his life in the most teachable years of his life. Now, it doesn't really say what age he was when he went to Pharaoh's house or to Pharaoh's daughter's house, but I would assume that it was probably somewhere between age 10 and 13. In this day, a lot of them, the general rule was that at that age, they pretty much became an adult. Now, I'm not sure what happened, but we've bumped that up quite a bit, I think for justifiable reasons. But at that age, they were considered more of an adult. And so I would assume that it was somewhere in that age that he went to Pharaoh's daughter's house. But God gave Jochebed the opportunity to raise him in those most teachable years, in some of those most difficult years. Children are demanding. They show us our own selfishness pretty quick. When we want to sleep and they want to eat. When we want to sleep and they want to play, they don't want to eat. So there's a lot of things that God allowed Jochebed to do here. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. The writer in Hebrews actually references Moses' parents. 23 to 29. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, Jochebed hid this child. Moses learned by his mother's example. And here, in verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be persecuted for that. He chose to be known as one of the Israelites. He could have been known as Pharaoh's daughter's son, and he had a life of ease that would have been easily better off than he was as one of the Israelites. In verse 27, it says that Moses left Egypt and was not afraid of what Pharaoh could do to him. In the same way that his mother was not afraid of what would happen when she hid Moses, Moses followed her example here in responding to Pharaoh the way he did. Verse 28, it says he kept the Passover because he believed God when he said they would be protected. And then in verse 29, he faced the waters of the Red Sea head on. From his earliest days, Moses was infected by his mother's faith. And sometimes mothers, I know, you wonder, is there any way I'm ever going to get through to this child? And some children take a little longer to get through to. Most children have to be told more than once. Most adults sometimes need to be told more than once. So why would we expect our children to not get it in the same way? Moses made some mistakes, but we can see in Moses' life that he went and he was able to find God's will and to follow God through that faith that his mother taught him. The second mother I want to look at is Mary in Acts 12:12. I think there's one reference to this Mary. She is actually the mother of John Mark. And the one reference that I found, there may be more, but I didn't really look hard. And this is the story where Peter escaped from prison, and the first place he went was to Mary's house. And in verse 12, it said, when this had dawned on him, when he realized that he was free, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Mary here obviously was a woman of prayer. She was a woman who created an atmosphere in her home of prayer and faith. It was a place where the early Christians came to meet for fellowship and to be encouraged. So it was normal. Why did Peter gravitate to that home the way he did? Because I believe it was normal for something like this to be happening at her home. He knew that that's probably where he would find many believers that he knew. So John Mark grew up surrounded by believers and came to a personal faith in Jesus. Many believe that John is the one that wrote the book of Mark. And he accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in Acts 13. The third mother that we want to look at is Eunice. And again, there's very little written about Eunice. However, there is that Eunice had a huge impact. And Eunice was Timothy's mother. If we look at 2 Timothy, if I can find it. Thought I had it marked. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul references Timothy's mother and he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. We don't read anything about Timothy's father, and I don't know why. There's really not a whole lot. I did do some research to try to find if Josephus references him, and was not able to really find much on that. But it is believed that Timothy's father was a Cretan. And if you remember, I believe it was in 1 Timothy maybe, that Paul was writing and he referenced the Cretans, and he actually referenced them as people who were less than honest. I'm going to tone that down a little bit. He uses a different phrase there. But is less than honest, and they were people that could not be trusted. And it is believed that Timothy's father was a Cretan. So we don't really know how much influence his father had on him. But we read about his mother, but this is the only reference that we really have. Timothy's name actually means honoring God. He ended up being Paul's assistant for 17 years. And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 2, Paul refers to Timothy as my true child in the faith. And I believe that as an example of these three men, as in the example of these three men, all of them were greatly influenced by their mothers. We don't read a lot about any of them and the influence of the father, but we do read a huge influence of the mother. Now, men, I'm not letting you off, okay? Don't even go there. You're responsible. You should be responsible. But the thing that I want to bring us to this morning is you as a mother. Some days, I know, it's hard. Some days, you wonder, am I getting through? Some days you wonder, when will I get through? You will. Just keep showing up. You don't have to be a person that is well known to be a person who influences someone who will be a great person. Abraham Lincoln is said to have said, "Everything I am, I owe to my mother, who was a godly example to me." And we don't read anything about her. Abraham Lincoln is known as a man who did great things in our country. So I want you to remember that you have the power to influence and infect your children with the spirit of faith as you live and care for your family each day. And sometimes that faith can be very simple. Sometimes it's big. Sometimes you have things that you're facing that you have no idea how you're going to do it. But just keep showing up. Just keep doing it. You have the potential to influence many children's lives, not just your own, whether you're a mother or whether you're not. Reuben, if you have a song, I have a poem I'm going to read here at the end, and then we'll stand for closing. "Whatever you write on the heart of a child, no water can wash it away. The sand may be shifted, the billows be wild, and the efforts of time may decay. Some stories may perish, some songs be forgot, but this graven record, time changes it not. The things that you write on the heart of your child will be there forever. Doesn't mean they'll always follow it, doesn't mean they'll always listen, but it will never, ever be gone." Mothers, keep showing up. There you are, Reuben. Or 12 in the faith and praise. You can stand. Father, this morning we are grateful for the examples that we have in Scripture. And we thank you this morning for the mothers of the Bible. We thank you for the mothers that you have given each of us. And God, we recognize that this morning there are those here that's mothers are gone. And some of them are gone early. And we don't understand that, God. And we just pray that you would help us to insert ourselves into each other's lives in ways that can fill those voids. And we pray especially for those this morning who are wrestling and are struggling with heartbreak because of that. And we just recognize that pain is there, and we pray for them. We pray that you would help them through that time. We pray for the mothers here this morning that are struggling maybe with knowing how to take care of their children or not really sure what's happening in their lives. We pray that you would just give each mother here this morning the strength and the grace and the endurance to keep on, recognizing that child that they're training, those children that they're training, could be someone of huge, great influence in the future of our world. But even if not, they can be an influence on the next generation in ways that we may never know or understand. And so we want to honor our ladies this morning, our mothers, our grandmothers, those who came before us. Help us, Father, to live a legacy that will go on for generation after generation. And I just pray this morning that you would help us this week to honor you in all that we do. Give us wisdom and courage to face each day, brand new, and each day with courage. In Jesus' name, amen.